Okay, breaking up with the Gemara Tazayin Amud Aleph, we're 6 lines from the top, the words of Gufa. So we're going back to the statement that we had in yesterday's daf of Rav Ami Bar Tuvim. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ar Bar Tuvim, Bar Tuvmi, Rav Ami Bar Tuvim said, Sikicha Biblai Kelim Psula. If someone covered the Tzchach with pieces of clothing that had later become worn out and used, so then the sukkah is going to be pasul. And then we explained on yesterday's daf that the reason is because there's a gzeirah d'rabbanan that it came from a bega that's mekabel tumah, so therefore this is a problem. So the Gemara wants to know what exactly was the shir that we're discussing of Rav Ami Bar Tuvmi, my belay kelim. What exactly does it mean that we're talking about pieces of clothing that were worn down and used? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Matlanish in behem shalosh shalosh. Abaye says that we're talking about patches of clothing that are less than three finger breasts by three finger breasts in size. De lo chazin lo la'aniyim ve lo la'ashirim. That's not even usable for poor people or for wealthy people. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about that. What is the smallest piece of clothing that somebody will use? And the Gemara makes a chilek between someone who's rich and someone who's poor. Someone who's poor will use something even shalosh esbos by shalosh esbos, 3 finger breadth by 3 finger breadth. That's the minimum shear. Where someone who's an usher will be a bigger shear. So I forgot the shear that way by an usher, but that's what the Gemara says. So Rav Ami is telling us that even if something is totally removed from the shear of a beget, it is totally removed from a shear, since it came from something that was originally a problem, that would be something which is going to be an Isser Derabbanan. So there's a famous grach over here, like a trivia question. He said that when could it be a case where you have somebody who made a fully kosher l'mahadrin sukkah, and then something external thing happened on sukkahs, and his sukkah became pasul. So he said that if you have an usher, someone who's defined as someone who has the means to support himself and is an usher, halachically, so his shear is 6 by 6. So if you had a bega that was never made a bigger shear, but let's say it was a 4 by 4 beged, so for him, that's not the shear. So for him, it was originally a beged which was not usable because it wasn't something that was ever a shear that was significant for him. So it was 4 by 4. And then what happens is on Sukkot comes in, and the moment Sukkot comes in, a minute later, Chas Shalom, his whole house burns down, all of his possessions, everything burns down. So now he's an ani. So if he's an ani, then something has to be 3 by 3 etzbos, 3 by 3 etzbos, 3 by 3 finger rests. So that thing that he made his schach with is that shear, and it totally apostles his whole sukkah. It's a fascinating understanding of the trivia question of the grach. People are mefalpel in that. Is that really true? Is it tesis they bring down? But either way, that comes from our Gemara about aniyim versus shirim, that if something was originally never made a bigger shear, then Rav Ami Bar Tuvmi was only when something was a gzera, that something came about from a bigger shear, which was originally a problem, then made into a smaller shear. But if it was originally made, like achila, into the smaller shear, l'chora, that would not be called an issue. So now the Gemara wants to bring a rule, a raya for this. The Gemara says, Tanakh Vasid Rav Ami Bar Tuvmi, we have a proof for Rav Ami Bar Tuvmi. How do we know this? So the Raisa says, Machtela shel shipu v'shel gemi. If you have a mat made of some sort of a plant, and two different types of plants, so shiarea, so the whatever is left over of this, after Rashi points out what is left over after the mat has been reduced in its shear, alpha bishin nivtachal mikashirei, even if it's been reduced less than the amount, let's say for ani it's 3 by 3, or by a regular shear is 6 by 6 tvachim. So Rashi says, so the Gemara says, "Ein masach mehen." So you're not allowed to use them for schach, even though they can't become tamei now, since they came from something which was lechora originally a problem. As Rav Ami Bar Tuvmi taught us, that is lechora the same issue. So that's what the Gemara is bringing out, that this is a proof for Rav Ami Bar Tuvmi. So the Gemara says, the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, "Machtelas akanim." Someone made a mat made of reeds. Gedola mesachichin ba, a large one may be used as schach. Ketana ein mesachichin ba, a small one may not be used as schach. Why is that? Because if it's very big, we could assume you made it l'shem schach the whole time. However, if it's a small one, it was made l'chora as a mat, which is going to be subject to mekabel tuma. Rabbi Lezer Amer, afi mekabel tuma, even a large one can make ein mesachichin ba, it can become mekabel tuma because you use it for sitting on different types of mats, and that would be an issue. Just to point out, we made a brief mention of this. It's important halacha l'maisa, just everybody knows, the deal with the bamboo mats. Most of the poskim seem to be mekel with regards to the bamboo mats. Chazon Avadia has a richos about this. Licha Shlomo, both Rosh Hashanah Zalman, I'm pretty sure it was a shuvah. I thought I remember being a shuvah of Moshe. I didn't see that quoted, but I thought of Moshe also was makel on the bamboo mats, that it's something that's not mekabel tumah, it's not an issue. However, they quote in the Mar of Eliyashuv, and the Tzitz Eliezer explains clearly in his shuvahs more explicitly, that you should not use these mats for schach, because he says there's sometimes used for sitting or other purposes, therefore they're mekabel tumah. And just like this Mishnah tells us, that if it has a function, these definitely have a function in certain areas of the world, in China, different places, and a lot of them actually are made in China, these are machzels. So the Chorot Tzitz Eliezer says you shouldn't use it. So it seems to be Minhag Olam definitely is, at least in America, is to be makel, like the poskim that we just quoted originally, like Rav Avadia, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman. I remember it being Rav Moshe also, but though I didn't see that quoted. So that is a Minhag Olam to be makel, but there definitely is a chumra on the books of Rav Tzitz Eliezer and quoting the Rav Yashuv to be machmir. So that is the lechora of the situation. It's based on our Gemara. Machzel Askanim is the situation with the bamboo mat. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us, Achotit begadish, someone who hollows out a haystack to make a sukkah, it's not going to be kosher. Says the Gemara, Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said, Lo shanu ela she'en sham chalal tefach meshach shiva. This halacha in the Mishnah tells us that it's possible is only when there was no hole beneath the hay of a tefach high for the length of sheva tefachim. However, if you're able to open up and to carve out a shear of a minimum shear of a sukkah, which would be of a yeshach hal tefach meshach shiva. If you have the hole, which is one tefach high, and the length of seven shiva tefachim, then the height is going to be increased to 10 tefachim, so that you have the minimum shear of a sukkah, raise a sukkah, this would be kosher. That if you have the upper layer of the being able to be made in a correct manner, then you wouldn't have an issue of tasa mina asa. Why is that? Even though, because at the end of the day, you're hollowing out an area of 10 tefachim, so then you're making the walls kosher. So this is seemingly similar to a case where you have a sukkah which is 9 tefachim tall, which if you dig a hole in the ground, we mentioned this case of 1 tefach, and then you make it 10 tefachim. Whoa, the schach was there. Why isn't there a problem with tasav and asay? Because apparently the schach fundamentally is kosher. It's over open space. All you're doing is validating the walls. That's apparently not, the schach was always kosher. So that's what Ravuna is being mechadish over here. That's what he's saying. The Ravuna is being mechadish that here the schach really, if you have, obviously you have to have in mind that you're doing l'shem schach, that you have to fulfill the obligation that you need to have in mind that you're putting the schach correctly. But once you have that in mind and you then carve out the area that you need to the minimum shir of a sukkah, that would be kosher based on the example that we brought about if you have a 9 tefachim sukkah where you have the schach. We never mentioned there's an issue with the schach because the schach fundamentally is kosher. It was made for the purpose of schach. However, you just didn't have the walls being a minimum shir. So if you fix the walls, that would not be a problem of tasa v'lam na'asui. So says the Gemara, Tanam Hachu, we have a braisa that supports Ravuna. Achotei begadish lasos l'sukkah. If someone is hollowing out a haystack to make a sukkah for himself, I raise a sukkah, this is going to be a valid sukkah. So the Gemara explains, wait a second, what do you mean? We're just saying that if you're hollowing out a haystack, it's kosher, but the Mishnah says, ain a sukkah. So our Mishnah says it's not a kosher sukkah. So the Gemara, Allah Shemina Kid Rav Huna. Lachor, we can make this chilik that we're saying is the chilik is Rav Huna. That's the chilik where we have to make. That our Mishnah is referring to a haystack that wasn't originally built over a tafach deep, so you don't have the minimum shear, and that's why our Mishnah says that it's possible. So that's Shemina, that's a good proof that we're saying like Rav Huna's chilik that the Mishnah is referring to, we don't have the minimum shear, but if you have a minimum shear, that would be the Braisa, and the Braisa tells us that would be totally legitimate as a perfect as a kosher sukkah. So says the Gemara, so some didn't explain it with this first introduction of Rav Huna, rather just asked a simple stira. They just asked a stira, a contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah told us, Tanan, in our Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah, Choti begadish lasat sukkah ain't a sukkah. Someone who opens up a haystack to make a sukkah for himself, that's not a kosher sukkah. Vahatan, but wait, the Braisa tells us, Harei's a sukkah, that is a kosher sukkah. So how do we answer? What's the example? How are we going to give the answer? Says the Gemara, Amalach, Ravuna gave an answer to this question, and Ravuna says, Lukasha, there's no stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah. When the Braisa is referring to a case, why is it kosher? Because if you're making a hole for yourself beneath the hay that has the height of a tefach and the length of a sheva tefachim, so you have a minimum space under this hay, that's a minimum share of a sukkah. So that's when the Mishnah is that's when the Braisa is telling you it's kosher. Obviously, that you had in mind that it wasn't just for storage or for the other purposes of the hay that you were planning on making as a sukkah. Whereas the Mishnah, which says that it's possible, is talking about where there wasn't a space that had a height of one tefach for a length of shiva tefachim. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the walls of a sukkah. Someone is making the walls from top down. As Rashi explains, that you build the schach, and then you're building more downwards. The lashon of Rashi is shehitzchil aruga mechitza etzel schach ve'oreg uba klape mata, that you first make the schach, and then you start building the wall from the top down, and you aim, so that it says in Mishnah says, im gavom in arts shlosha tvachim psula, if the wall doesn't reach three tvachim till the ground, then the wall is going to be puzzled. The bottom of the wall is more than the ground, you don't have lavud, then it's going to be a problem of a gedi can enter the walls, and those aren't kosher walls, and therefore it's not considered halacha wall, and therefore your whole sukkah is puzzled. Milmata milmala, however, if you make the wall from the bottom up, if you make the wall from the bottom up, you build from the bottom, as Rashi says, and then you build it up. If the wall is 10 tefachim high, it's going to be kosher, regardless if there's a large gap of even, whatever it's going to be, even a 4 amos gap, 5 amos gap, until you get to your shear of the sukkah, of the schach, that is not an issue, because this is the principle. We've had this by Erevin, but it comes up a ton. Many modern day sukkahs will rely on this concept that the walls will be, especially if you use those string walls, right? The string walls are going to be a minimum share of you're using lavud, and then you're going to also be using good asik. That good asik means, tells us that we literally pull up and we bring up, that we assume that the walls are seen as extension all the way up to the schach. And that's a very important principle that many modern sukkahs rely on this, that you're building up, so you only have to build the sukkah walls have to be only the shear of 10 tefach. And once it's your 10 tefachim, you just build a schach on top of it, and then you have good asik mechitza. It's very important, and there seems to be, as being lachokas, the Bach and the Ramah, with regards to, the Ramah says that a person shouldn't build the schach first, and then build his walls, because it's a problem of tafse muna asui. So the Bach brings from Rashi's understanding of our Mishnah, that seemingly the Mishnah says explicitly that that's the case of Mishalsha Defanos Milmala Lamata. So that what did Rashi say? That you're building first the schach, and then you're building the walls after the schach. So isn't that clearly, meaning the Mishnah says that if you get within three tefachim of the ground, there was no problem with tafse muna asui, and it seems to be totally fine. So the Bach brings a raya from here to disagree with the Ramah. So the Taz wants to defend the Ramah against the Bach. But that's a whole shayla, a fascinating raya from the Bach, from our Mishnah, with regard to the fact that the Mishnah, seemingly according to Rashi, is explicitly talking about a case where you build your schach before you then build your walls. Okay, but that's what the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, is talking about. The Mishnah then brings a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi omer kishim shelamata lamala asar tefachim, just as a wall building from the bottom up is going to be okay as long as it's 10 tefachim high, and then you're going to say good asik mechitzas. So too kach milamalamata asar tefachim. So too, when you build a wall from the top down, it's going to be valid if it's 10 tefachim high, regardless of the gap from the top down, because Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that we're going to hold of good achis. Good achis is literally you pull and you bring down the wall, and he says you can bring good achis, and that's not a problem. So why doesn't Tanakhama hold good achis? We hold of good achis. Why, when it comes to Erevin and the halachas again, and we even pointed out that there's many similarities between Maseches Erevin and Maseches Sukkah, because we have to know what is a wall. What is a wall is a fundamental question in Maseches Erevin. We dealt with that for many dapim of Erevin. So that also, so we learn about good achis, where a wall can be pulled down based on the top down. So why doesn't Tanakhama hold? That's the Chora. Tanakama does. Tanakama holds it. There is a concept of good asik. However, if a gedi can enter, it doesn't matter that we have good achis. Since you have a problem that the gedi can enter, fundamentally it's a problem with your wall, and that's the problem over here with the wall according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Yossi says we hold of good achis mechista. Fine. So the Gemara says, so that was the opinion of Kach Lamadamata Asar Tvachim, as we just mentioned, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now, so we had this Machlokas of Tanakam Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara wants to point out what exactly are they arguing about. So the Gemara says, "My Kamlifigi, what is the Machlokas between Rabbi Yossi? What is the nature of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakam?" So it says the Gemara, "Mar Savar Sumachista Tliya Matar." So Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that if you have a wall which is held up in the air, suspended in the air, so then that is still a valid wall. And you're allowed, so apparently with Hilchos Shabbos also, the rule of good achis is going to extend the wall, and there, as we just mentioned, and therefore, even though it's considered hanging in the air, it's still considered a valid wall, and therefore you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos, and it would be a valid halachic wall for sukkah as well. So the Gemara says, "Marsav mechitza tliya in a mataris," and the Tanakhama is going to hold that if you have a wall which is suspended, it's not considered a valid halachic wall, and you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, and it's not going to be kosher for a sukkah either. So that's what the Gemara wants to mention. So the Gemara says, "Tanan hasam." We learn in a Mishnah in Erevin, "Bor shebin shtei chatzir." So if you have a cistern between two courtyards, so it's a part, the cistern is partially in one courtyard and partially in another courtyard. So The wall that's separating the courtyards, it passes through the cistern, and the wall is more than three tvachim above the bottom of the cistern, it has the status of a mechitza tulia, seemingly. So that's why we're bringing up this Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, ein malan mena b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to draw water from it on Shabbos. We're talking about a case where you're not allowed to transfer between the two areas because you have two different chatziros and you don't have taking a loaf of bread, right, and put it together, so since you didn't do that, you're not allowed to carry from one to the other, and that's the issue over here. Elim kin asala mechisa sar tvachim, unless you made a wall of 10 tvachim high, the wall dividing the two courtyards is not going to be enough to allow you to carry, because it's a mechisa tluya lechor, it's a suspended wall, so therefore you have to make an additional wall of 10 tvachim high to allow you to be carrying from to the cistern. So the Gemara says, bein milmala, it can be done either above, bein milmata, or below, bein betoch ogna, or on the lip, literally, of the cistern. So the Mishnah is telling us that really that there's two cases. If you have the mechitza, which is close to the water, below the lip of the cistern, or if it's far above it, so this Tana is telling us that a mechitza tluya is normally not effective. However, for the sake of drawing water on Shabbos, the Rabbanan had a big clue over here that a mechitza tluya is going to be okay as long as if it's for the purpose of drawing out the water, then we would be allowing the cut of good achis to allow you to carry from the water. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us right now. However, Rabban Shimon Gamliel tells us that he may say that this is really a machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. Turning on to the next Amud, he says Beit Shammai Omrim Beit Shammai say Milmal, that only from above, that it's going to be allowed to be far above the water, provided that below the cistern rim, it's not going to be able to place close to the water this wall. Uvis Hillel Omrim Milmata, that Beis Hillel say that it must be below. That according to Beis Hillel, the wall is only going to be effective if it's close to the water. So Tosos over here discusses that the seemingly this machlokas b'sham b'es hillel is seemingly the opposite in Erevin, because the one who's lenient is going to be b'es hillel. Over here, Beis Hillel is being machmir, that only milmata, only from below, the way you're making it, not, and it can't be, whereas they're not going to be allowing a mechisa tzluya, they're not going to be allowing a suspended, the way it comes out from our Gemara, is Beis Hillel's machmir that to not allow a mechisa tzluya. So seemingly, Beis Hillel is always more makil. The Gemara in the Mishnah in Idios tells us when Elu Chumrei Beis Hillel Ukule Beis Shammai. So this is not one of those mentioned, so the Chor HaTosfos is correct to fix the gear. So the Gemara. Anyway, the Gemara brings down, the Mishnah brings down another sheet. Amar Bihuda. Bihuda said, "Lo te mechitza gdola min hakosel shebeneim," that a wall should not be greater than the wall between the two courtyards, meaning that the mechitza inside of the bore over here, the cistern, is not needed because the wall over the bore itself is going to be enough to divide the water. So according to Yehuda, the mechitza tzluya is going to permit the carrying of any item, not just water, in the area that it's around, and he is makil on a mechitza tzluya according to Yehuda. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda seemingly is going to agree with Rabbi Yossi that mechitza tzluya matters. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no issue with carrying over here because you have mechitza tzluya. As we mentioned, Rabbi Yossi told us that mechitza tzluya is not a problem, so both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are going to tell us that a mechitza tzluya has a halachic status of a wall. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Yossi's ruling that with regards to sukkah, mechitza tzluya, that is that if you have three tefachim above the ground, it's going to be kosher. So lechora, and Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that a wall for a bor for Hilchos Shabbos is going to be the same. So Gemara says you can't compare the two halachas. So the Gemara says, why not? Because Lord Yehuda, sorry, Rabbi Yossi, sorry, Lord Rabbi Yehuda. I can disagree, and I can tell you that maybe each one would not hold of mechitza tzluya for the other one's case. Why is that? Says the Gemara, Lo Rabbi Yehuda sarva la Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily have to hold like Rabbi Yossi, because ad kan lomar Rabbi Yehuda hasam ela berevi chatziros derabanan. The whole concept of eruv chatziros, of kneading, when it comes to, we just mentioned, this whole thing is really midaraisa or shusha yachid, is an enclosed area on a deraisa level, is rishusha yachid. It's a domain, a private domain, and you are really allowed to carry from one place to the other. It's only because it looks like carrying from rishusha yachid to rishusha rabim, the rabbanim made a whole gzira. So that's all dinter rabbanim. So here he's making on a mechitza tluya. Have a hacha soka deraisa. But here, the fact that you need a wall is midaraisa. So it can't be, he wouldn't necessarily be that is low. So that over here, he's not going to tell you that when it comes to this din of a sukkah, we're not necessarily going to tell you that you're going to be makil and velora biosi sarvalar kabuta. So that's why that's going to be the first case of of Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be rather like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi is not going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because Ad can look on Rabbi Yossi ha'chela basuka de mitzvah sase. Rabbi Yossi was going to be mekel on regards to mechitza tzliya is only going to be regards to sukkah, which is a positive mitzvah. It's a mitzvah sase, right? Basuka seishu shivas yamim. It's not an iser. Normally, mitzvah sase at chomesh, a person has to spend a fifth of his money when it comes to avoiding an avera. You have to give all of your money in the world to avoid never doing avera. Avera is much more chamar than doing a mitzvah. So in verses of al Shabbos, the iser skilah, when it comes to Shabbos, even though we're dealing with an Isser Darabana, but it's coming from the fact that there's an Isser skilah, an Isser Misa, you get an Isser of punishment by death, of stoning, so maybe over there, even though we're talking about the Darabana, but still, overall, we're talking about avoiding an Isser Daraisa, so maybe there he will not allow you to rely on Mechitza Tluya, on a suspended wall, so therefore, maybe each one held it, one held it by Sukkah, one held it by Hilchot Shabbos, and not necessarily would they agree to each other with regards to do those two halachas. So the Gemara says, "V'im Tomar." Maybe you'll ask though that maybe Rabbi Yossi did extend this halacha to Hilchos Shabbos because Ma'isa Shenasa B'Tzipori once happened in Tzipori, and Al Pi Minasa. Who was the Rav in Tzipori? Rabbi Yossi was the head of the Beis Din in Tzipori, as Rashi tells us. So if that's the case, so apparently Rabbi Yossi was the head of the Beis Din, and he did not permit Mechitza Mataris on Shabbos. So what's the following ruling? Lo Alpi Rabbi Yossi, El Alpi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. It was done by Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. It wasn't Rabbi Yossi. Maybe Rabbi Yossi didn't say this. In Echanami, his halacha was only by Sukkah, where his son Rabbi Shmuel, he reasoned that maybe you should apply the halachas to Shabbos as well. But maybe Rabbi Yossi himself never said that this halacha should apply to Hilchot Shabbos as well. What happened in Tzipori that led us to believe that this halacha Mechitza Tluya was allowed to be used in Hilchot Shabbos? The Gemara says, what happened? What happened over there that was this that implied you're allowed to use the concept of mechitza tzliya, of a suspended wall, to allow you to carry in Hilchos Shabbos? Here's the following. Dichyasa Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, and he said, Pamachas shachu v'lo yiviu. He came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, and he said, "Pamachas shachachu v'lo yiviu sefer Torah me'erev Shabbos." One time, the people of Tzipori, apparently it was dangerous for the Rashi says to them to leave in a shulmi, but get stolen, whatever. So they left in a private house to protect it from the goyim. So they accidentally forgot to bring it to shul right before Shabbos. So they had the sefer Torah was in someone's house, but they needed to learn from it on Shabbos morning. So what do they do? So l'machar pirsus zarin magami abudin. So the next day, so what do they do on Shabbos morning? They spread sheets on top of posts to form a narrow area to enclose between the building where the Sefer Torah was and where the shul is. They view Sefer Torah for Karabu, and they brought the Sefer Torah to the shul and they read from it. So apparently the sheets were acting as a mechitza, separating from this area in between. And apparently this was allowed to do it on Shabbos. Even that's a little shaila about mechitza mataris. So let's get into this long arichos over here. And the Tos is very important. Tos over there in Hilchos Shabbos regards to Mechitza Mataris and doing things that create a heter for you to carry. But either way, apparently these sheets did not reach the ground, and therefore it was a Mechitza Tluya, yet they held that it was mutter to carry based on, they allowed them to carry based on this. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, Pirsus HaKadaitach, can you tell you that you spread the sheets on Shabbos? Mechan Avim B'Shabbos, but how are they allowed to bring them on Shabbos? How are they allowed to carry these sheets from their houses to the courtyard in the first place? How are they able to do this? So that's the Shiloh over here. Rashi points out that how can they make an Oval Arai on Shabbos? So that's the Shiloh according to Rashi. So the Gemara says, Elam Matzus Adinim Perusin Al Gabe Amudim. They found sheets spread on the top of the post before Shabbos. They didn't have to carry anything of these sheets. Ve'evi the Sefer Torah v'karu, and the other Sefer Torah. So we see from there though that they relied on the concept of mechitza tliya. They relied on a suspended wall, and that was, maybe you don't have to assume that that was Rabbi Yossi. Maybe that was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and he held his father would extend it to Hilchos Shabbos, but maybe not. Maybe his father really didn't extend his heter into Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav Dimi. So this is not halacha with regards to the walls of a sukkah. Machtzelas arba u'mashu mataris b'sukkah mishum dofen. If you have a mat, the width is four tefachim in a little bit, so it's slightly more than four tefachim. Rashi points out its length is equivalent to the side of a sukkah. So then it's going to be kosher for a wall of a sukkah. It's going to be kosher. If you have literally a little mat, it's going to be kosher for a wall of a sukkah. Where's the hechi abin? How is it going to be kosher? You need to hit 10 tefach wall. So what do you do? Tala the bemsa. If you have a four tefachim wall in the middle of this machtelas, so then you'll have three tefachim from the bottom of lovewood and then three tefachim on the top. Pachos mashosh lamala and pachos mashosh lamata. You'll have less than three tefachim below it to get till 10. So that's why it's four and a little bit, because it'll less than three on the top from that machtelas, that little middle part, till the top is going to be three tefachim, and then chol tefachas, three tefachim on the bottom, and you'll have lavan on the bottom. So therefore, your wall is now treated as if you have a 10 tefach wall, which is the minimum sure you need for hilchos of a mechitza, of a wall for hilchos sukkah. So the Gemara says, pshita. So this is so obvious. Why Rechis is not telling us anything? It's a lach of lavud. A lach of lavud is anything less than 3 tefachim is considered part of the wall. So if I have a 4 tefach thing in the middle and less than 3 tefachim on both sides, it's pashit. That should be considered a wall, and there's no shayla. There's no havamina that it should be puzzle. So the Gemara says, no, ma'u desim chad lavar minan, tre lavar laminan, kamash. No, I would have thought that maybe would have said that the law of lavud only applies once, but in the same wall to apply lavud twice. Maybe I would have thought that's too big of a chiddush, so we don't say that. So Rav Chista is coming to teach you. No, you do say the lacha of lavud twice. So the Gemara says, maybe that's even true. Maybe we don't even say the halacha of lavud twice. Basically, the Braisa seems to contradict that. Machtela shiva mashu mataris pesukah mishum dofin. If you have a mat whose sukkah width is 7 tefachim and a little bit, it's going to be considered a valid wall for sukkah. In this case, the mat needs to be extended only once to reach the shear of 7 tefachim. So over here, the Gemara is assuming that the Braisa is referring to a sukkah of exactly 10 tefachim. So a mat slightly more than 7 tefachim would reach the ground and you would have only less than 3 tefachim space between you. So apparently the Braisa is specifically telling you that when you have exactly 10 tefachim, you need a minimum shear of 7 tefachim. Why wouldn't the Braisa mention 4 tefachim and teach you the much bigger chiddush of lavud on both ends? Seemingly the Braisa is telling a blanket rule that you need to have a minimum shear of 7 tefachim for your wall because you can only use lavud once. That's the Gemara's havamina. So the Gemara says, no, kitanya hi besukkah gedula. That price was specifically talking about a bigger sukkah, more than 10 tefachim high. If the mat is used in such a sukkah, even Rechissa would agree that it has to be more than 7 tefachim, because if you have a bigger shear than lavud of 3 tefachim, then obviously it's not going to be a valid wall. So therefore, Rechissa is teaching you that Rechissa would agree to that price, that the schach and the ground over there has to reach, if it's much bigger shear than 10 tefachim, if you have more than 3 tefachim of lavud, then you have a major issue with regards to the mechitza over there, the wall, because you don't have a 10 tefach wall. So the Gemara says, in light of that answer, the Gemara says, so then what is the Braisa teaching us? It's teaching us you're allowed to make the walls from top down, and they're going to be kasher, even though they are mechitza tliya, as Rabbi Yossi told us. And so that's the chiddush of that Braisa, that even though it's pretty far from the ground, the Braisa is telling us that that's considered a legitimate wall, and that's mechitza tliya, which is going to be kasher. So the Gemara continues, versus Arabami, pas arba mashu mater besukkah mishum dofin. If you have a board, a 4 tefachim and a little bit, it's going to be a valid wall for the halachas of sukkah. If it's 10 tefachim high, slightly more than 4 tefachim wide, then it's going to be kosher for a wall. So the Gemara mukilim bepachas mishlosha tefachim samachal dofin. If you set up in a way that it's going to be less than 3 tefachim from another wall, chol pachas mishlosha samachal dofin kalavadam. And if you have any gap less than 3 tefachim wide, it's going to be treated as though it was lavud, and therefore it's going to be considered as if you have your wall extending, and that's the chiddush of here, that lavud is extending the amount of 7 tefachim. The question that the Rashi just implies and discusses, and everyone and all the Achronim are discussing, is that we learned on the Gemara of Zayin Amaralev that if you have this pas, which is more than a tefach, that's enough for the halach lamoshesina, right? The shlosha is a filu tefach. So here telling us that the board is that you need a the board is seemingly why you're making a shalosh tefachim dofen kelavud and getting into 7 tefachim. So we mentioned over there that maybe that only tefach is going to be good if you have a tzuris pesach with it. If you don't have the tzuris pesach, it's a problem. However, the chiddush over here is therefore a big chiddush, that if you have a board which is more than 4 tefachim wide, then you don't need the tzuris pesach at all. That's what it's going on over here. You don't need the tzuris pesach because it's more than 4 tefachim wide. So then now the Gemara says, my kamashman, what does Rami come to teach you? This is a similar halach of lavud. So Gemara says, hakamash malan, sheshir meshech sukkah ketana shiva, that the measurement of the wall sukkah, the minimum shear, is going to be 7 tefachim. And that apparently is following the shita, as mentioned earlier, of Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai learned that it has to be large enough to have a person's rosho, your head, and most of your body, and also your shulchan. And that was the shear over here of 7 tefachim, which apparently is the shear of, that's the chiddush that Rav Ami is teaching us, that you need to have this year as well. Okay, with that, we've just finished the Tazan Beis. Be'ez Hashem, will pick up with Herchik tomorrow's daf. Be'ez Hashem tomorrow.